Good morning, family. Hallelujah. So just pray with me just one second. Lord Jesus, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk about a few things. Let's go to Luke 1 real quick, verse 37. Because this demonstrates the heart of what I'm going to talk about. Luke 1, verse 37, because it's getting to be Christmas time, so you need to look back through those scriptures. I always touch base back with the scripture of why it began. Luke 1, 37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. This angel is speaking to Mary. And she has this response. Verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bond slave of the Lord.'" In other words, her heart was already captured. Her heart was submitted. A bond slave is one who voluntarily submitted to the master. So she counts herself already submitted. "Be it done to me according to your word." That is a statement of faith. That statement of faith separates her from everyone else. In that moment, the same angel visited Zechariah, and Zechariah had similar things to say, but there was no faith behind it. When she speaks this, she's releasing faith for whatever it is that you say, that's where we're going. I don't see how this is possible. I never heard of anybody having an immaculate conception before. But be it unto me. See, that's the place of faith. Faith takes us places we would never otherwise see. Faith will take us into places and bring the impossible into the possible. So that's the journey today, to recognize that we have an opportunity to move from earning to entering in by the process of faith. Because a lot of times we've been earning our position with God rather than just standing in agreement for the faith that He's already put in us. For the faith that He created us with. See, when you were born again, there was faith instilled in you in that moment. The most remarkable things that I've done, I did within a few days of being saved. Not because I was anything, but because the fullness of God was in me even from that moment. So we got to recognize we can step in. We got to recognize this faith. And the more we begin to give our eyes to the faith, the more the faith can be made possible around us. Hallelujah. So Exodus 33:13 says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways." This is Moses praying. Now, interestingly enough, they've already left Egypt. They've already crossed over the Red Sea. They've already done all kinds of things that have happened in their journey thus far. Because, see, every one of us is on a journey. There's all kinds of things that have happened in this journey that were miraculous. They saw the works of God like no other generation. But you, how many know that we can see the works without understanding this next part? "Let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so I might find favor in thy sight." We can see the works without understanding His ways. We can see the works of God, the miracles and the things that are surrounding God, those are shown to us. We can see those activities and still miss the heart of God. Miss the being of God. Miss the relationship and the purpose of His love. It's the relationship with God that He's always seeking. The heart of man is wired to seek God. Whether we ever do it or not, it's still there. It's pulling on us. It's pulling on us. Even when I was lost, there was a part of me that was being pulled on. There's always a part of us that looks to find God. We may not understand it. We may look at it and look for it in a lot of wrong ways, but there's part of us that's always looking. Because why? Because there's something in us that's born for a greater significance than just ourselves. A greater significance than just our little, you know, my little thing. Because why? Because that's the heart of God. The heart is in you. The heart is within each one of us. And that's part of what we're getting here. See, so we can see and know the acts of God without engaging the person of God. In Israel, when they came out of Egypt, millions of them, the numbers are anywhere from 1.5 to 3 million people total. Out of 1.5 to 3 million people, three people engaged the heart of God. They all saw the works. Why am I saying that? Because we sometimes can get, when they crossed over the Red Sea, I think if there was a fire behind me, separating me from Egypt, that I would get the point that God's on my side. I think that when I walk through the walls of the Red Sea, and there's water on this side and there's water on that side, and I walk through on dry land, I would get the point that God is greater than my circumstance. When I see those things, but see, they saw all these works without understanding his heart was to deliver them out of the slavery. His heart was to take them out of their circumstance. His heart was to change them and cause them to represent him in the world. They didn't understand it. They didn't see that. They didn't walk in that. Three men understood faith. Moses understood faith. Caleb understood faith. Joshua understood faith. Three men got it. Three men got out of their circumstance. Three men got out of their slavery. Three men got out of the situation and the situation that was around them. And the rest were, unfortunately, submitted to it. Now, it's real easy to talk about them. But what about me? Am I looking at my situation or am I allowing God to stir faith? Which is bigger to me, God and faith or my situation? When we begin to know his ways, we can know him. We can enter into that trust that he has for us. Okay? And we can recognize his love motivation. We can see his desire for family and engage in his good pleasure. See his goodness towards us. We're all on a journey here. We've been on a journey for a long time, many, many years. For those who've been here a while, we've been through a lot. In the journey, we learned about praying in tongues. For those who've been here, there were seasons, whole seasons, where we would pray in tongues. Not 15 minutes a day. Not 30 minutes a day. Not 5 minutes a day. For hours, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, whatever you could squeeze in while you were still awake and you could still pry your eyes open for one more minute. I learned to pray in tongues standing in the line at Walmart. But here's the deal. Praying in tongues is a wonderful thing. We prayed in tongues until our tongues fell off. Then we got into reading, right? Reading entire books at a time and then consuming them and reading. We'd read a book. The book of Ephesians I read 100 times. The book of Hebrews I read 50 times in a row. I didn't do anything else until I finished reading that 50 times. And when you do that, there's an image that forms in you. All of a sudden I woke up one day and I could see the purpose of the book of Hebrews from the beginning to the end. I could see the way it flowed. It was just all became an image in my heart. I don't ever have to worry about that because I can teach out of that pretty much any time because I see the image and I can speak it out as an image. Those are things that God began to do when you just engage that. But see, that was not all. We began to not only pray, but then we began to worship. Not with another song, but I would sit on my couch and worship with my own voice. But I just would worship him. And I did it without, because David was in the field and he would worship God. And he would just do it. He didn't have an accompaniment. So we would worship 4 hours a day, 5 hours. I never got to the point where I could do it 5 hours, because I'm way too ADD for that. So, because I would worship and you're going for 10 or 15 minutes and all of a sudden, and then I start again and then and I'm back. It was a little harder. I remember I had a really, really significant encounter with the Lord one time. Actually, this time I was at Drew's prayer closet, and my assignment from the Lord was just worship me the entire time you're there. And I thought, piece of cake. I walked in that room. I thumped my Bible down. I opened it up and I began praying and worshiping. I began worshiping and, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I was 15 minutes in and I'm out of words. I wound up that night crying myself to sleep as I tried to force worship to come out. I know I'm being real, right? But I will tell you this, on the third day when I woke up, worship was just booming out of my soul. It was booming out of my heart. It was shifted to atmosphere. And because it started booming out of my heart, things just began, and I just entered in with God like I'd never entered in before. If you're persistent, God will honor. But here's the problem. All of what I've just described, which has been part of our journey, and many of us have been collectively in that journey, we were fasting. I spent like 2 years doing every other day. So 2 days on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off. Because I wanted to stay in that fasted place. Fasting is an awesome tool. But none of these things earn you God's pleasure. None of these things earn you your position in Christ. You cannot earn it. I didn't know I'm trying to force God to do something that he already did. I was trying to push him into the corner where he had to anoint me. He didn't have a choice. You're going to anoint me because I'm going to stay here until there's nothing left of me. Oh, by the way, when you're fasting, everything that needs to come up and to the surface, it generally is going to come up to the surface. Okay? There are things that will come out of you when you're fasting that you did not know were in you. All the emotional baggage that you carried, you thought, it's all right in front of you. God is looking to create family. He's looking for us to understand, receive, and accept. Instead of trying to earn it, let's enter in. Start recognizing that by faith, he already declared and decreed what could happen for you. By faith, you have the ability to engage him in his fullness. By faith, you have the ability to walk with him, even as Jesus would walk with him. As Jesus would walk with the Father, he's only representing what the Father's intention was. So what we see him interacting with Jesus, that's actually how he wants to interact with you. That should be good news to somebody. We have an amazing pathway here. When you begin seeing him as a door and engaging, ascending with the Lord, you're going to receive more in that ascension. You're going to receive more in that face-to-face interface. In that face-to-face moment with him, you can receive more out of that than all the other things that I've talked to you about combined. Because transformation happens from glory to glory. So as we stand in front of Him and we're seeing and perceiving His glory, we can all of a sudden receive. And guess what? I'm way more willing to give something up when I'm standing in the glory. I'm way more willing to transform when I'm standing in the glory. I'm more willing to let whatever I need to let go, go. So when we begin to allow Him, when I engage Him for who He is by faith, that's when I begin to tear off the roof. Kim was speaking, did that song, Kim was speaking about tearing off the roof of our insecurities. It's time to tear off the roof of our insecurities. It's time to tear off the roof of our unbelief. It's time to tear off the roof of the sadness and the oppression and the depression. Because what? Those things don't belong to you. And they don't belong in the kingdom. Whatever it is, if it's infirmity, it's time to tear off the roof. And let faith begin to be released. Hallelujah. So we're going to move from earning it to entering in. We're going to have faith to enter in. We're going to have faith to accept what God has made available to us. We're going to have faith to receive what God has made available to us. See, sometimes acceptance and receiving are two different actions. I can start accepting it in my mind, in my thought, but then I receive it maybe into my body if I need a physical healing, or into somebody else's body if they need a physical healing. I begin to receive it out of heaven and let it move into the earth. I receive it out of the impossible and make it possible. God has a place for the acceptance. He has a place for the entrance, but it all happens because faith becomes our balance. Everything that Jesus did was concerning faith. Everything He was showing us was concerning faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That means, guess what? Faith pleases Him. Sometimes uncertainty can be a biggest distractor. And I've said this before, but with God, there's nothing that's uncertain. With my natural dad, he could be the most awesome person in the world to be around. And a few seconds later, the last place you want to be. The uncertainty. I think it would have been easier if it had all just been bad, or obviously all of this was good. But there's the uncertainty of not knowing that leaves a confusion and a wound. But with the Lord, there is no uncertainty. With the Lord, it says faith pleases Him. We can understand and stand in the certainty that faith would please Him. If I'm acting in faith, even if I mess it up, when I'm acting in faith, He's pleased. And believe me, I've done some faith projects that were way wrong. I brought a family of 5 into my house for 5 months. God was trying to tell the guy to get a job, and I was enabling him not to get a job. When I really interfaced with the Lord about it, He showed me His heart for him, and He showed me my action. But He also showed me how proud He was of me, even in the midst of doing it wrong. You can carry a peace about you simply because you're standing in the good pleasure of God. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. One of the most amazing things that you can do is have His good pleasure on you, to have Him come to you and just express His pleasure over you. Have Him tell you He's proud of you. He's proud of you. Good job, Tim. Because see, when God does that to you, it changes something in your heart that needed to be changed. When He begins to speak and release His good pleasure over you, it releases something that you have need of. You may not even have been able to identify it before. But when it is released to you, it shifts your heart. See, when we're busy trying to earn it, it doesn't always go the same way as we expect it. Galatians 2:20. You know, sometimes when you're busy on that journey that I described earlier, there will be days, there will be times that I would fast and pray. And I'll fast and pray for something and fast and pray for something. And I get the breakthrough. And Kim wakes up the next morning and just goes, steps into the breakthrough. I know we're one, baby, but that's a little disappointing. She stepped in by grace. I stepped in by all this self-effort that took me forever to get through. All the works. See, works ain't worth it. If I'm trying to earn my position with God, I'm already behind because I have to, actually what I have to do is move to the place where, ta-da, I see in my mind that He already did it on my behalf. So Galatians 2:20. This is Paul. And Paul has been on a journey of his own. Paul represented works. He was works incorporated. He was works from the foundation of works. And he understood God through the framework of works. You realize the law was only caused by our need for works. The law came as a schoolmaster to teach us that we needed something more, because the law could never bring life. But the Spirit brings life. The revelation of faith brings life. The revelation of faith moves the impossible into the possible. So Paul is being the king of works. And now he's got a new revelation in this moment. He's sharing it with Peter because Peter moved back under the law. And he's saying, wait, stop. Because I can't have you under the law. You have to release the life that's been given to you. And he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the same for every one of us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this little earth suit, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. There was a great exchange happening at the cross. And he said, I'm submitting my old life so that now I can have and I can be gifted what you have in your life. He's gifting, the Lord is gifting you his life. It's an exchange. You give him the old, and he says, I've got something new. The word. You give him the old, and now we accept the new. There was an old way. There was an old way that was full of self-efforts, full of self-manipulation and all the rest of that. But it is a way of life. It comes just simply by standing in faith. For the life I live by faith of the Son of God. Faith is central in all that Jesus does. The law never loved me. It never sanctified me. It never sacrificed for me. The law never died for me. The law only accuses me. The law only frightens me. The law only operates in negativity. When I begin to think about it in those terms, there is no balance between grace and the law. Because only God in His grace gave me something. Only God in His grace offered me a sacrifice for my sin. Only God in His grace offered me anything other than just the acknowledgement of I've done wrong. The law only points out our flaw, but leaves us no solution. Grace, the thing that's missing out of every other religion. Grace, that grace. Shows me there's a solution. And it's no longer my self-effort. It's no longer the things that I'm doing in my own strength. But it comes because I'm aligning myself in his life. I'm aligning myself in his faith. Verse 21, for I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. What does that mean? It means that if I'm trying to just add grace to my works, I'm missing the point. I'm just pausing for effect. If I'm trying to add grace to my efforts, if I'm doing something totally in my own strength, and then I just say, Jesus, bless my mess, I'm missing the point. I don't know about you, but I've asked Jesus to bless my mess. I'm thinking that I'm doing a good thing because I'm giving him an opportunity. If it's grace, it has to be the whole solution. Grace is the whole solution. It can't be just part of the solution. It can't be just something that I throw in there at the end of the prayer. It's got to be my whole thing. Because if my action is coming out of my trying to earn it, there's no grace to it. And then I've nullified the value of the cross. I nullified the value of the cross when I put my own effort in. Now, I'm not saying that there's not effort required in your Christian walk. I'm saying that effort has to lead us into the place of grace. When I'm no longer trying to earn my way to God, but saying, God, here I am. Now let's work on it together. God is not blessing my mess. God is already at work in my mess. He was already at work in my mess before I asked him. But I don't have to do it all in my own strength. I'm counting on the act of grace. I'm counting on the place of grace, the person of grace, to release something. See, no other religion has that feature. No other religion talks about grace. Because it's all about what we can do. Paul's understanding before stepping into the grace and stepping into his newborn spirit, Paul's understanding was about all what he could do for God. Now his testimony here is all about what God did for him. That's the difference. When my testimony shifts to what God did for me, when a testimony shifts to recognizing it, without grace, it's not going to happen. Come with me to John 16. I'm going to wrap this up in a few minutes. Realize something I skipped earlier, but I'm going to just read to you just so you know there's a scripture attached to it. I'm going to read to you out of Luke 8, verse 21. There was a whole bunch of people that were standing, that were crowding Jesus, and it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. And he answered and said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word and do it. My mother and my brothers. In other words, my family is the ones who are interacting with me in faith. Those who are already crowded in the room with him were interacting in him in faith. They were the real brothers. They were the real brothers. Now, every one of his natural brothers and sisters had the ability, his brothers had the ability to come into that relationship, but it had to be come into by faith. We don't get to come into it by birth. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of heaven. You are a son or a daughter. Glory to God. John 16, verse 8. See, the Lord's not going to leave you alone. That's good news. That's good news. Because he continually releases life. Okay? He's not going to leave you alone in your mess. I'm really grateful. How many of us have created a mess just this week? He's not going to leave us alone in our mess. He sends Holy Spirit here with something for you. Okay? Holy Spirit right here. Verse 8 says, when he comes, it's talking about the Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning the sin, because they not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. What he's telling you in this release here is the Holy Spirit is declaring what is already done. Let me put it to you this way. I'll put it to you in different words, and then you're going to see it. So he's showing you that you have now dominion over sin. When he's convicting you of sin, he's not only just convicting you of sin, but he's actually empowering you out of it. He never releases a word that he doesn't also release the power of the word. Every time the Lord has come and he's spoken to me about something or about a situation, that very word itself carries the power to walk me out of it. When Holy Spirit comes and he begins to speak to you and convict you about something, he's giving you the power to be on the other side of it. So he's giving you dominion over sin. Number two, when he's convicting you of righteousness, he's giving you a new identity. Do you know your righteousness of God, right? You are the righteousness of God. That's what your word says. I remember the first time I said that, I was sitting at my desk at work. I hid under my desk. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. And lightning didn't hit. I was kind of expecting that lightning was going to get... There was no lightning. And I began to form a new identity. Why? He was convicting me of something that was available to me, but I had not yet attained. I had not yet understood that I have an identity, and this identity is in righteousness. This identity is in the wholeness of God for me and in me. You know what? He's never once hit me with lightning over that yet. There's been some times I have to remind myself, I am the righteousness of God. They cut me off in traffic. I am the righteousness of God. All right, so we got dominion over sin, we got a new identity, and we have, lastly, a change of authority. When it says that he's convicting us of judgment, that means that the enemy has already been judged. And now we're given the authority to carry out that judgment. We're given the authority to carry out that judgment because we're standing in faith. We're giving a new identity because we stand in faith. We're giving power over sin because we're standing in faith. And as we stand in faith, Holy Ghost comes alongside us to supercharge you and release the victory. To release the victory. He comes to enforce the victory that is being released right there. Faith releases victory. So there's one thing that's necessary for us. That's to believe. John 6 says, what must we do to work the works of God? Believe. Believe. They're trying to work the works. They're not understanding that the works in themselves aren't what you need. We need to believe. Because the belief will release the ways, and the ways will release the understanding of the goodness of God. The ways will release the understanding of His purpose in your life. It will release the understanding of where you're going. It will release the goodness because now I can actually see the goodness. That's John 6:28, I think. So, when I stand in the acknowledgement of the goodness of God, when I, above all people, because I can think of at least 10 times I should have been dead. If there's anybody who's going to believe in the goodness of God, it's me. You guys can get in on it too. But I'm going to believe in the goodness of God. Why? Because I've experienced it over and over and over in my life. I've seen it over and over in my life. But you know why I'm seeing it? Because I believe in it. Because I want it. Because I'm trying to pursue Him with all that I am. I may not be perfect at this thing, but I'm pursuing Him every day. I'm pursuing His heart. I'm pursuing not just for me. I'm pursuing for a breakthrough for you. I'm pursuing for a breakthrough in faith. I'm pursuing for a breakthrough in understanding. I'm pursuing for a breakthrough in wisdom and breakthrough in counsel and breakthrough in healing. I'm so to see all those things. Because why? Because that's the God that I serve. That's the goodness that I see. That's the goodness that I want to be released on everyone. It's necessary to believe. You know what else is necessary? For us to recognize He's not looking for reasons to disqualify us. I like that. You're not disqualified. Period. He's not looking for reasons to disqualify you. If He was looking for reasons to disqualify you, this journey would never have begun. There was no reason for us to even take the journey if He was looking for a reason to disqualify. But what His heart is to qualify you. He's not the reason of your disqualification. He's the reason of your qualification. He's the means of your qualification. And it doesn't matter what your history is. What's a good thing? It doesn't matter what your history is. What matters is who your Jesus is. What matters is how do you see Him? How do you respond to Him? When He's beginning to speak in life, He's speaking life into you, are you receiving it? When He's speaking truth to you, are you receiving it? When He's speaking possibility to you, are you receiving it? When He's speaking increase, are you receiving it? Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame. Guess what it's a hall of fame for? Those who are of faith. Those who will believe. It's a hall of fame because it lists out person by person, incident by incident, all kinds of things that people got recognition for, but they all engaged faith. Faith is how we walk in His attention. You want to get God's attention? You can fast for 40 days, or you can stand in faith. I'm choosing to stand in faith. I'm not saying don't fast. Because there's health benefits to fasting, okay? There's other benefits to fasting. But I am saying it's a whole lot more pleasant to stand in faith. And it's a whole lot more productive overall to your transformation to stand in faith. You're not stuck. You're not stuck. You're not trapped. Sometimes we feel trapped. You're not trapped. Begin to see in faith. Faith will see to the other side of the thing. When the valleys are raised up, that's when oppression and depression get made to not exist. When the mountains are made low, that means our problems become insignificant. You're not stuck behind those things. You're not stuck behind addiction. You're not stuck behind trouble. You're not stuck behind the bankruptcy. You're not stuck behind whatever it is. You're not stuck. Right now, I release life. I release life. The Word says that I can release life. I choose to release life to each and every one of you. No matter where you are, no matter where you are in your journey, No matter what it is you have need of, I want to release life to you. I release life because life is the thing that stirs us to bring forth and to shine the light. I release life because life is sometimes what's needed to clear away the darkness. I release life because sometimes we need the reinvigoration that comes with it. The reinstitution of God's love in our understanding. I release life over this congregation. Over these children as they come in. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit for judgment, I release a breaking off of every curse. Every depression, every infirmity. I curse the works of infirmity in the bodies, in the mind, in the emotions. You know, I've experienced people who have infirmity in their emotions, and it's time for that to break now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're breaking off the infirmity of the emotions because sometimes our emotions are keeping us trapped in a belief system that is not truth. So Lord, I release truth into the emotions. I release truth into the heart. Father, I release truth into every heartache. I release life. The life that renews. The life that strengthens, the life that draws alongside us. You don't have to fight these things in your own strength. You have Holy Spirit there to come alongside you. Every depression and oppression, every grief, every sadness, every sickness, I just release life into these areas now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the fullness, Lord. Of your heart being released. For everybody who's watching online, for everybody who's in the sanctuary. Thank you, Lord. I want to speak life to you. Release life to you. Because that's what's going to shift and change. When we see the fullness of God operating in our midst, that's what's going to change all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can do the journey the way I did. And pray in tongues till your tongue falls off. And read till your eyeballs fall out. And worship until there is no word left in you. Or you can just ascend the mountain with the Lord and allow Him to bring transformation. Allow Him to speak into your life and release hope and healing and restoration and release the power and the empowerment of the living God on your behalf to speak into the situations around you. Hallelujah.